Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know
okay.
That we are blessed.
John.
Fathers of the ghetto,
yeah, John,
and he's pressing
the radio
net from the north to the south.
I'll call you right back.
To the west. Man, that's how you
okay.
Feel. All the streets, we keep it real. Day and night,
I'm gonna call you right back.
Okay. Yes, I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I see was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.
Hey, welcome to Mad Dad's Vlog Talk Radio. How you doing, everybody? So glad that you could be on with us today. We are going to be talking about home fire prevention safety tips and what it's like to go through a tragedy that happened on February the 14th where flames engulfed the top floor of a duplex on 28th and Colfax. A family of seven living at the bottom floor lost everything they had. Clothes, pictures, memories, and everything. And not only that, somebody had the nerves to break in the house and take all the stuff. It was just sad. It's terrible. And I think that's just not fair. But they made it. But upstairs, there were five individuals that did not make it. And our prayers go out to that family. The Teachers Federation is handling that and working with them. And Mad Dads is working with the Garrett family. And we have them on the line to talk to us and to share kind of some of their experiences, the things that they're going through, what you can do to help them to get through this. And so I'm going to go right to the line and talk to the Garrett family. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. How you doing?
I'm all right. Thank you for asking, BJ. How are you?
Well, we're doing great, and we're really glad that that your family survived. You know, we were at Shiloh Temple International Ministries on Sunday, and the church came and wanted to really help and help support the recovery of what you're doing. And so we just want to know, what did it feel like to have the church come around you and surround around you as they did on Sunday?
I definitely felt a lot of love and a lot of comfort when I was there on Sunday. It's really nice to see a community and a church, you know, come together to help people that they don't even know. So we're very happy that to just see, you know, the church doing so much.
Well, you know, I think it's important that people understand. I think a lot of people say, oh, they okay. It was just they made it, no big deal. But there's some things that are happening still that are affecting your kids and affecting you. Can you talk a little bit about the after effects of what happens when you're in a fire in the same household where people die?
Well, it's very emotional. I broke down myself, you know, just for the sake of those children, the five children that didn't make it. You know, it could have very well been my children. And as a parent, you know, or both of us as parents alone, you know, to know that five children passed away in the very building that we lived in, you know, we saw those kids every day going to and from school, and, you know, they played above us. You know, we heard them constantly throughout the day. So for it to be pretty silent now, you know, it's heartbreaking. It's very heartbreaking, and we're just trying to, you know, cope with what happened with Troy's children as well as trying to support the development of our children as well because of, you know, we didn't live right down there. They did see the kids every day, so... You know, although they weren't friends, they knew them. You know, they knew that they were there. And I know it's a tragedy, and it's horrible.
What advice could you give to people, you know, kind of things that you've learned that you would do different now? What advice would you give to families when it comes to being prepared for fires and stuff like that?
Well, the advice that I would give is, you know, definitely be alert, and whether your smoke alarms are working or not, you need to make sure that they are working. You need to make sure that you're aware, you know, as far as sight and smell goes. Luckily, you know, my 14-year-old, he was very prepared. You know, he smelled it and he knew immediately that, you know, the smell of something burning. So my advice would be, you know, prepare your children young so that they can, you know, develop and grow and be aware of their surroundings and everything that's going around, you know, to them. My three toddlers were not aware of what was going on. They were moving extremely slow, you know, to get out of the unit. And, you know, I'll take that as a lack of me preparing them for an emergency situation like that. So I definitely tell our parents, you know, prepare your children early so that they're aware of what's going on and what the effects are.
Well, you know, I think that's important. What you just said is that the kids are moving slow because they didn't realize that their lives were on the line. And had you been training them and preparing them for that, they would have known, fire, everybody, get in position, bam, because, you know, that's why they have, you know, in school y'all get annoyed, right? Actually, I think in school we were excited that we'd all get to go outside because it was a fire drill, you know.
Right.
But we never took it serious. It was just another opportunity to hang out outside. Everybody's going outside. But in the home, I think you're absolutely right. So many times people don't prepare, and sometimes people are living in substandard housing where there's only one exit out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in a basement or something, and if there's a fire, they can't get out. So that's a good tip. Now, I don't know if you know this, but there's more than 3,400 Americans that die each year in fires, and approximately 17,500 are injured. An overwhelming number of fires occur in the home, and there are time-tested ways to prevent and survive from a fire. It's not a question of luck. It's a matter of planning ahead. And so thank you for talking about the reason why it's so important for people to plan ahead in the case of a fire.
Yes,
so
definitely.
Did you have
really important.
They're saying it's important for every home to have a working fire alarm. Were your fire alarms working?
My fire alarms were working, but they did not go off when the fire was happening up there. But then again, there was no smoke in my unit.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. They say that a working fire alarm can double your chances of survival, and smoke alarms themselves should be replaced after 10 years of service. I didn't even know that, but I bet there's a lot of people that have. Yeah, I bet there's a lot of people that have fire alarms that are not replaced, and they're just sitting there 10, 15 years, and they're old. You know, one of the things also is that what do they call them, the space heaters?
Yeah.
Those space heaters are very dangerous. Were you using a space heater in your unit?
I was not. Actually, I had about 3 fans in my unit because it was always so hot in there. So, I mean, and I guess there's some talk about the building being too cold or whatever the case may have been. You know, I don't know what the case was upstairs, but downstairs I had 3 fans in my unit. I think I had 4 because I had one in my living room, one in my bedroom, one in my son's room. So, I had one just sitting there. And it got very hot in our unit, so we had a lot of fans going. I owned the space heater but didn't use it.
So because of the heat was not quite evenly regulated. So a lot of times that's hard to evenly regulate it because you were warm downstairs, correct?
Correct.
And it appears they were cold upstairs.
Right, I don't know what the case was. I don't know how the heat functioned up there. You know, I know that the heat would come on in my unit, and it'll warm the house very well. You know, and then it'll turn off just so that it doesn't get. You know, it's not supposed to get too hot. So it'll warm it up. You know, you can hear the heat blowing. It blowed hard. It blew hard. And then it'll cut off to let the house cool down.
Well, you know, one of the things they talk about, too, is that alternative heaters, portable heaters need their space. Keep everything at least 3 feet away. Keep fire in the fireplace. Use fire screens over those when you have a fireplace. And then those kerosene heaters should be used only when approved by authorities. The other thing that I think you said is important, and I hope that people listening will remember, to always plan for your escape. Make sure you organize that. And to caution everyone to stay low to the floor when escaping from fire and never to open doors that are hot.
Exactly.
Select a location where everyone can meet after escaping the house and get out and call for help.
Yes,
so they're saying children under the age of under 5 are naturally curious about fire, and many play with matches and lighters. Take the mystery out of the game of fire by teaching your children that fire is a tool and not a toy.
Exactly. They need to understand that it is a dangerous thing. It definitely is.
And you know, one of the things that I want to say is that how are the kids, this is their first day back to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how have they been responding to going back to school?
You know, well, my kids love school and they're very excited to go back. I know they have a lot to talk about. And they ask me every day, when are we going back to school and when are we going back to school? So they're excited to go back to school. And honestly, I'm trying to push that because I want them to try, you know, to go back to a normal lifestyle. And I don't want anything to interrupt that as far as, like, I don't want them to be traumatized.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Ms. Garrett, you hold on. I've got a caller that wants to say a few things. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll be right back with you. We're going to 0394 Blog Talk Radio, Mad Dads, nationwide, all over the country. We're going to talk to our caller. You're on the line, and that's 0394. Just 1 second. There you go. I got you on 0394.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thank you, Mama Trees, for calling in. We're talking to the Garrett family, and this is Mama Trees, and did you have something you wanted to say?
My heart just goes out to the family. It's not too much that I can say that'll change anything, but I've seen this happen some years ago in the 90s with another family over in St. Paul, the Coppages, the Andersons, when Terry lost all five of her babies, and that was a sight that I will never forget. It was five caskets at one time, and my heart just goes out to the families that went through that and the kids that are left here to have to face the community and the whispering and just going to school, period, back to school.
Well, she said that they're a little bit excited because they wanted to get out of the hotel and they're ready to go back to school. So today's their first day, and Mom has been, you know, really working hard we just found out that somebody even broke in the house and took all the water damage stuff out of the house on Colfax today. And as she went back to look for certain items, that somebody had just kicked the door in and took what there was. And so what kind of words of wisdom, Mama Trees, could you give to Miss Garrett? She's on the phone listening to maybe help her get through this.
Miss Garrett, only thing I can tell you, sweetie, is to stand. The community always says takes a village to raise children, and right now you're going through a time in your life that I wouldn't even want to be in your footsteps, but this village is getting together and we are doing the best that we can do into helping you, and I'm sure it's arms and phones, lines that are open to you 24 hours, and please reach out because the community is here.
Well, thank you very much, Mama Trees. Mama Trees, I'm going to go back to Ms. Garrett. Ms. Garrett, I want to once again thank you for you've been very accommodating for the media. You've been talking to the newspaper. I just talked to the Star and Tribune, and I just got a call from the Teachers Federation, and it looks like we're about to get this thing straight about the communication between what family does what. A lot of people have been calling the bank trying to help the Lewis family, and we've been sending them to the Teachers Federation, but we were trying to get everything straight, and so when I get done with you on this call, we'll work on that also. I want to say big ups to Quality Inn. Is that where you're staying at the Quality Inn, right? And you've been getting good service there?
Yes.
The Comfort Inn?
Yes, they are.
You've been getting good service there? Yes, and we're glad that it looks like this weekend you'll be back in your home.
We're hoping for it. We're hoping for it. I spoke to the landlord, and he said that hopefully we can have it ready by this weekend.
We did get a call on somebody that said they wanted to donate some furniture, so maybe I'll get you that number, and it looks like people are going to help you, and you got to refurnish everything. I mean, you lost all your pictures, you lost all your videos, you lost,
yeah.
I mean, you lost your memory, the memory of your family, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I did.
And none of that was salvageable?
I'm sorry?
Was any of that salvageable? Any pictures, any video? Could you salvage any of that?
I couldn't salvage the pictures or, like, the birth certificates and things like that. There were things that were towards the front of my bedroom that were like, completely untouched. You know, I had a case full of DVDs, full of video games, full of all kinds of things that, you know what I'm saying, I went back to try to get. And when I went there this morning to try to grab those items, they were gone. It looked like people had went in there, stole all of the movies, stole all of the video games. And we had three game systems, so, you know, they made off with a lot of stuff. They took food out of the refrigerators, out the cabinets, and it's like, you know, I mean, I pray for them, and I guess they just desperately needed the things, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, we went back and tried to get what we could, and it was gone, so...
Well, you know that God's going to tremendously bless you to replace all that, and we know that some people, that's what they do. They take. Others give, and some take. And you're a giver, and so you were able to give to somebody that was a taker. And so there's nothing you can do about it but move on. And I believe that it won't be long. You'll be back to normal. Have you looked at getting counseling? Or working on getting counseling for the kids and yourself?
There's a psychologist at both of my kids' schools that said that they would speak to them just to make sure that they're not going to, be traumatized or anything of that sort, because they were standing outside for a little bit of the time while the house was burning, you know, when we first got out. And I haven't, you know, spoken to anyone as far as myself goes. It's crazy because, like, I've just been off, you know, mentally since Friday, and I'm just trying to recuperate my thoughts and everything. The first night after, it was very hard for me to go to sleep. I was up for a very long time before I was actually able to sleep, and even then I wasn't comfortable, you know. I hear a little sound, and it just brings me back to, you know, Colfax, and, you know, just thought of the five children that did not make it. It bothers me tremendously, you know, and I'm just confused about the entire situation and everything that's going on. So eventually I'll seek some kind of, you know, psychological or counseling. So.
Yeah, and I think you should sooner than later, and I'd like to connect you with North Point Health and Wellness. We have a connection there, and so later on today we'll talk about that and get you set up with an appointment, because in order for you to really help the kids, you've got to be strong too. And so you need an opportunity to release all that so you can be strong for what you have to do.
Yes, I definitely agree. I do.
So you know, one of the things I want to talk to you about is that I seen on your Facebook that you had just got accepted to a college.
Yes, I got accepted to the Minnesota School of Business. I was supposed to start at the end of March, which I still will, for criminal justice. I'm going to be a parole officer or a probation officer.
So now all this happened before you, the house fire, correct?
Correct.
And then all of a sudden, matter of fact, I think the day before you got the letter, and I'm going back on your Facebook, I think you were making a peach cobbler or apple pie. What were you making?
I made a homemade apple pie. So before we lived over here at Colfax, we were actually staying at a hotel because I was actually homeless for about a year. I was living in a hotel. They didn't have a stove where I could cook at. So since moving to Colfax, I've been trying to make a lot of different homemade foods, and some come out good, some don't.
So that was your first shot at a fresh apple pie, huh?
Yes, I failed.
Oh, you failed? Oh, it looked good, though. It looked really nice. So you were homeless. When were you homeless?
I was homeless majority of 2012. I was staying with my mom before she moved to Wisconsin. Like, I had moved out of my place and moved in with her to help her out with her bills and everything. And then she moved to Wisconsin and asked me to come with her, and I decided not to. So instead, I sent my children with her so that they can have a foundation, you know, and then I stayed here trying to rebuild what I gave up to move in with her. So for the majority of 2012, I was living with different family members, and then eventually I ended up at the Robin Hotel paying $200 a week for one room. And that's when I had got connected with Simpson Housing Services and Mission Inn. And Mission Inn is Paul Bertelson, who owns 2818 Colfax. And his mission is to, you know, end long-term homelessness. And I moved in there in August.
Wow. And so he's going to be accommodating you with another apartment, right?
Yes, he is. He has a house that's going to – he said it'll be available on the 1st of March, but when I spoke to him, he said he's pushing for this weekend so that we can get in there.
That is great. That is really wonderful. And that, you know, they talk about slumlords, but it sounds like this landlord is actually a good landlord.
Paul is a wonderful guy, and his manager as well, Adam, they're wonderful guys. They've been helping me out the whole way. He's willing to accommodate the rent so that, you know, because it is a single-family home, considering we don't want to, you know, go back to a duplex or an apartment just due to the circumstances of it could happen again and, you know, in someone else's unit, and then we'll be in the same situation. So we're pretty terrified of that. But they're definitely accommodating us very well.
Well, that's a beautiful thing, and I'm so happy to hear about that. We're talking to Ms. Garrett, and she has – five children and a fiance, and he needs adult male sizes 3X and pants and shoes size 9. She wears a size 11-12 and shoe size 6. And you have a 6-year-old girl that wears size 7 pants and 13 shoe, correct?
Correct.
And wait a minute. Your size is 14-15 and a 9.5 shoe.
Yes.
Okay. And then you have, and then your son is, he wears a size 34-32 pants.
Correct.
And 8.5 shoe, right?
Correct.
And then you have another daughter that wears, she's 6, and she wears a size 6 and 12 shoe. And then you have another son.
Yes.
That wears a size 5 and 11 shoe.
Correct.
And then if people want to bring stuff, they can take it to Shiloh Temple International Ministries, 1201 West Broadway. And the number is 612-302-1463. And you can make financial contributions to BMO Harris Bank for the benefit of the Garrett family. And you can contact the bank at 612-238-8700. Tell me some things that you think that have really helped you, because I know that the Red Cross came to the rescue, and they gave you, I think it was 3 nights or 4 nights at the hotel.
Yes, the Red Cross gave me 4 nights at the hotel. They also accommodated food and a little bit of money on a debit card to replace some clothing for the kids to wear for the week.
Okay. So, and then Loring Elementary School is the school that some of your kids go there, right?
Yes, my 4-year-old is a high five student at Loring Elementary.
And then at Columbia Heights High School, I have
my 14-year-old son. He goes there, Tyree.
Okay, and then the French Immersion School is where the smaller kids go?
That's where my 6-year-old, she goes to Pierre Botteno French Immersion.
So now you got to take, are you driving kids to 3 different schools every day?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my goodness. So the buses don't come and pick them up?
No, the buses haven't been set up yet to come and pick them up or drop them off at the hotels. And it usually takes like a week before they even, before, you know, Minneapolis Transportation even processes requests. I spoke to the principal at Pierre Botneau, and he's linking up with the principal at Loring to get some accommodation set up to see if they can expedite the bus service. But until then, I have to drive them all to school and pick them all up every day.
Okay. Well, you're doing a great job. I'm so proud of you. Once again, everybody, you can go to the BMO Harris Bank, make a contribution for the benefit of the Garrett family. If you got donations, stuff that you want to donate, clothes, you can take it to Shiloh. If you have furniture and stuff like that, I think she wants to see that before she accepts it. Just because, you know, I mean, furniture is furniture, but, you know, she might have her own little style and stuff, what she wants to do. You know, I'm sure she's – I didn't get to see the apartment. But we're going to get some pictures of it and show to you the damage so you can see how you might be able to help to fix it up and to make it better. We're going to get you some help, Ms. Garrett. We're going to make sure that that you can get situated. And we're really proud of you for being such a strong young lady. And I'm sure that the advice that you're giving other people, train your kids to be ready for it, have an escape plan, draw a map for your home, show all the doors and exits. They say it's purchase a collapsible ladder that you can use just in case you have to use a ladder. Make sure that your fire alarms are working. Be prepared for that. And is there anything else you could tell people that might help them based upon what you've been through so far?
I guess the only other thing I would tell them basically is to, you know, love your kids because, you know, as you see what happened with the incident with Troy Lewis, you know, you never know, you know, all of our days are numbered and you never know how many more days we have. So, I mean, definitely love, you know, your neighbors, your kids and everything and just give them, you know, all the joy and happiness that they can have in life because you never know when it might end.
Absolutely. You never know what it might end. And, you know, we're looking forward to your promising career as a probation officer, and we know that you're going to do well. You've been listening to Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads, and remember that's BMO Harris Bank, and our support group is tonight. I don't know what you guys are doing tonight, but we got daycare and food and all that, and we'd love for you guys to come and have a nice meal with us tonight at 5 o'clock. Do you think the kids can come down and yourself can come hang out with us at 5 o'clock today?
I can definitely try. I don't know what time I'll be picking them all up from Minneapolis.
Okay, we're going to be at 3023 4th Avenue South, and we invite anybody and everybody to come on out to our support group where we talk about healthy relationships and parenting, and we have daycare and food for everybody. So it starts at 5. We're done at 7. We'd love for anybody and everybody to come on out, and we appreciate you calling in to Blog Talk Radio. Ms. Garrett, I want to say thank you once again for calling in. Thank you for being a part of Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads. And we look forward to seeing you soon. We're going to be praying for you. And we know that God has spared you and your family for a reason. And we also want to pray for the Lewis family and pray for them as they prepare for a funeral for 5.
Yes, definitely.
And you've been listening to Blog Talk Radio. We've been listening to Ms. Garrett, and she's been really wonderful to hang out with us today. So we'll talk to you soon. This is Mad Dad signing off.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Been against destruction because you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto and he's pressing nothing less. From the north to the south to the east to the west. Mad Dad, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing up on the...
He's there for St. Patrick's Day. Who did this?
Angelo's taking them messages and giving them to me. So I don't know what to do with that. And I don't know what to do.